Welcome back to the Boys Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Schaefer, back again with my other co-host, Brian. Brian, it's great to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to yet another week.
Yes, me too. And we are joined by a guest this week, our first guest of the season. We thought we'd have our first guest be the worst team in the league. You might have thought it would have been on good, but no, it is Colin. Colin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It is way past my bedtime, but I'm here for you guys. Let's do this thing.
Can you just share with the boys real quick what your actual bedtime is?
Last night, this is real. I fell asleep on the couch at 8:30.
Yes. And what time are we currently recording right now?
It is 9:47 as we're speaking at this moment.
Yes.
Colin, I typically go to bed around 9 to 9:30 as well. Yeah. Louise was talking about, actually, before we joined the podcast, how, Brian, you are like an insane trooper for doing this podcast between like 10:30 to 11:30, like your time. I would be absolutely out on that.
It is. It's not a smart decision that I make, but it's a sacrifice that I make for the boys. And I would be lying if I said that I would be asleep. I definitely wouldn't be. I would still be. I'd be watching baseball or, you know, doing something else. So I'm not very, I don't make great lifestyle choices when it comes to my bedtime.
Well, if the bar is watching baseball, yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Colin. Colin,
do you sleep, Brian?
Do I sleep?
Yeah, I actually
sleep. I know. I sleep very little. I sleep, I would say I average like 6.5 hours a night, probably. But I don't know. I'm energized throughout the day. I feel good. I don't have to like take naps or anything. So
when you're
I just like get home from work and I'm like, man, if I go to bed at 9, I only have like 2.5 hours of my night left. Like I feel like I have to kind of push the envelope a little bit to get more time.
When you're driving to and from Seymour, are you just like glazed over?
I work really hard not to, because I'm like, that is so unsafe. So yes, sometimes I am, but I do pretty well. I would say like out of my 10 drives during the week, like, you know, 5 on the way down, 5 on the way back, probably like 9 of them, I feel very alert. Probably one of them, I'm like, okay, this is a little unsafe. But I have all my tricks to like be safe while I'm on the road. So
do you want your tricks? Yeah, I want to hear your tricks. Yes.
Yeah. So my first trick is just coffee. So I'll have coffee with me, especially in the mornings.
How much caffeine do you have per day? How much caffeine?
I don't know. How much caffeine is in a cup of coffee?
I think like 90 to 100. Okay. I don't know. It depends on how big it is. Like, how many ounces of coffee are you drinking?
Just one like pod or whatever.
Okay. That's not that much.
Yeah. So if that's 90, then probably like a little over 200, because I'll normally drink like a Celsius when I get into the office. So
Celsius is 200 straight up, Brian. I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Okay. Well then maybe over 300. It's nice. A long drive. But yeah. So that's kind of the first one. The second one is like windows down or like some type of, you know, just fresh air, music blaring, something like that. I'll either like switch from a podcast to music or music to a podcast and like just kind of, you know, flip the script a little bit. Gum is kind of my fourth, you know, third or fourth option. And then if that's like still really not working, if I like have like a quick snack or something, if I pull over and like get a snack somewhere, that will like kickstart my metabolism and I'm good to go. So those are kind of my tricks, but it's, you know, a different solution every time.
Austin would probably suggest that you try Zins. I've heard nicotine is a great.
I have too many other poor lifestyle choices. I can't. That has to be my line.
That's fair enough. Wow. I mean, it would make sense that you're drinking that much coffee. I feel like with how little sleep that you get and how like demanding your job is, you kind of would have to be like mainlining caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a staple part of my diet, I would say.
Are you constantly just like wired with that? Awake, no. But not.
No.
You know, your head is throbbing.
No.
No. Okay.
It has the same effect on me that alcohol does, where like I think because I'm so big, like 250 milligrams of caffeine to me is just not what it is to other people. So I don't even know if that's how the science works, but it feels that way. So but yeah, I have to have like, I think I probably would have to get over like 400 milligrams or something like that before I would really feel buzzed. Pepsi used to make this product called Rockstar Xdurance, and it was like 325 milligrams of caffeine in a 16-ounce can. And I tried one of them once when I was in Minneapolis and I was working a 2 a.m. to like noon shift, and it was terrible. It was middle winter. I was like so tired all the time. So I was like, I'm just going to try one of these Xdurances just to see if that like really, you know, makes the difference. And I literally felt like I was drunk at work because I would like turn my head and it was like everything was like delayed by like half a second because I was so wired. And yeah, it was not a fun feeling. Like I literally felt like, yeah, I felt like I was drunk.
Rockstar Xdurance sounds like it would be like a pill at the checkout line of a gas station, you know, like the Xtends or like horny go lead or something like that. It would be equivalent to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like it.
Except you were at work for 10 hours at 2 a.m. So yeah, about the same.
You guys want to hear kind of a funny story? I guess I kind of texted it to Colin earlier, but I feel like we have a little bit of a theme of just me sharing like kind of the weird, crazy work stories that I have. So Colin has heard two of these weird, crazy work stories. I don't feel like I should publicly state one of them, but the other one was that I'm working with this colleague of mine and we're meeting with this guy on Friday that owns a chain of gas stations in my territory. And we're like trying to re-sign him to a contract. And this guy is like quite literally a millionaire because he makes so much money from his gas stations. And so I texted this like colleague of mine and I was like, you know, hey, you know, I'm free anytime before noon on Friday. Like I have some calls after that. So like we would just have, you know, we just have to meet with him in the morning. And my colleague's response was, well, he's a heavy drinker, so he often doesn't get up until 11 a.m. So it'll probably have to be later than that. And I'm just like, I told Colin, I'm like, I'm just numb to that now. Like that just feels like normal work dialogue for me. So I'll be meeting with an alcoholic later this week to discuss contracts for 2025.
You should bring a six pack with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Break the ice.
Wow. That's, I love your work stories, Brian. They definitely surpass my work stories. Colin has some good ones too, though. He has some pretty gross ones that I always like. For those of you who can't see Colin right now, he is sitting shirtless between a lamp on either side of him in the background. You can't even see his face. He's like, it's like he's doing one of those interviews where like it's super secretive, you know, like we're not allowed to know his identity. Colin, do you have any work happenings that have been going on for you? Can people see the light in you? Are they still telling you?
Dark and scary place. So I mean, nothing too exciting. I stare often at open sacral wounds. And so I have smelt some of the worst smells that you will ever smell in your entire life and seen some of the scariest things that you will ever see in your entire life. So I had a shift on Saturday where I did like four or five sternal or sacral wounds. And so I'm a little bit scarred. I'm very over it. I'm done with that. I'm ready to move on with my life.
Could you explain what that is? I've never heard that word before in my life.
Okay, sacral wound. Yeah. Uh-huh. So what happens is if you are old and you are not moving and you lay in bed, you get what is called a bed sore. That bed sore eventually creates a lot of dead tissue, and then that dead tissue leads to an open area on your bottom, and then I get to deal with it.
Ooh.
It's more or less a death wish, but
It kills them?
Yeah, because it gets infected, and then that's pretty much, you know, the end of it. So
roll credits.
So sad. My life is so sad.
You're like the harbinger of death. Like, if I'm touching your sacral wound, you are fucked.
Oh, yeah. Totally. So that is my existence. It's a really great existence.
Wow.
It's a very different existence than a lot of the boys, or all of the boys. I feel like you guys were all in the business classes at Craner, and I was in there grinding, doing stupid science stuff. And here we are. Now I look at butts.
The worst kind of butts.
Yeah, seriously. Open butts.
So, yes. No crazy work stories, but that my work is a little bit crazy.
Five sacral wounds. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
gross. Over and over and over again.
Are they just like burned into your, you know, head? Do you just like close your eyes at night and see these wounds?
Oh, yeah. And you can smell that smell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you ever like put like Vaseline around your nose? I feel like I've heard that that like helps with the smell of.
There's a secret technique. So what you do is you put one mask on, and then you put toothpaste over top of that mask, and then you like sandwich them in between two masks. So you have two masks and with toothpaste in the middle. And so you can only smell the toothpaste. Yeah. You live and learn.
Did you go in the first one like raw? You went no mask on? Like,
oh, yeah. Your first? Let me smell that thing.
Is that like a rite of passage for new people? Where like, yeah, we're not going to tell them this trick till after they come exactly. out of their first.
I did not learn that trick way into my practicing. So,
I think we're finding a new fantasy football punishment right now.
Oh my god, come to work with me. That would
you have
be
to
incredible.
Smell the sacral.
Well, what's funny is I have students that come all the time, and you can just like come in at khakis and in a polo. And so I joke with Emma a lot that she should come to work with me and say that she's like a student. So we could swing it.
That would be so
funny.
You get fired from your job because you brought someone from our fantasy football league in to smell the sacral wound. Wow.
Oh my God, that's really good.
Yeah. That's great, Colin. Sounds like your work is going awesome.
This was worth it. the entire podcast bringing Colin on this conversation was worth
it. Scary. Can we cut that out?
Yeah, you got to list the names of everyone who has sacral wounds, and then we can cut it out. Yeah.
Oh boy, Josh, what's new with you?
My week was definitely better than both of yours, I think, based on what I'm hearing so far. I think you're hiding some of the good parts. You guys are just talking about the bad parts, but. My week has been good. I booked a trip to Taiwan, so I'm going.
Hell yeah.
Over Thanksgiving. Yes.
Sweet.
Should be fun. Congrats, Joseph. Yes, we're doing Taipei, and then we're going to Hanoi in Vietnam. So that should be a lot of fun.
Amazing.
Yeah, doubling up.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. Went to the orchard on Saturday. I've been eating 3 apples a day this week. So Angud already knows what's been going on. It's been a healthy week right now. And we won our basketball league for the second year in a row. So back to back.
Oh yeah.
B League MS Hoops champions. So
this is just a podcast
of champions.
That is the pinnacle of work basketball leagues.
Yes, exactly. So it's been good. I don't think I have any like bad stories like you guys do. The only other thing I booked is my next hiking adventure, which is Mount Olympus in Olympic National Park. So I'll be climbing that in July of next year. So
amazing. Wow.
Getting fun stuff on the calendar. Yeah. Should be good.
I feel like I'm living vicariously through your adventures right now. That's awesome.
Yeah, it should be a fun next start of the year. So yeah,
I feel like good on my end. Colin, I feel like you and I should each give one thing that Josh and is Louise coming with you to Taiwan?
Yes, we both are going. Okay. Yeah,
that they need to do. For me, it was the conveyor belt sushi restaurant with with Joseph. It was just really funny watching him eat all of these. Just I don't even know what they were. They were just little plates of fish. Colin, what's
Colin loved that place. I think he told me he loved it there. He loves some raw fish.
It was a very painful.
Yeah.
I need you, Josh, to try the stinky tofu.
Oh my God, yes.
That's what I need.
Did you guys even try it?
No.
How lame.
And we talked
How
about the
lame.
smells of my sacral wounds. The smell of the stinky tofu is also locked into my brain. So good
Is pretty
luck to
bad.
you.
Is it worse than sacral wounds? Like, how
It
does it
might
stand
be. It might be worse than
up?
sacral wounds.
Here, okay, the other thing is you need to find a as weird as this sounds, you need to find a trash truck while you're there, because their trash trucks drive around and play Beethoven while they pick up your trash. So that was
You
pretty
guys
fun.
are giving great sales pitch for Taiwan. Go find the trash truck, get
Yep.
the stinky tofu and that conveyor belt. Yeah, wow. It's gonna be a
Yeah.
great trip.
Yeah.
I
If
like
you
those
weren't
things.
excited for it before this, you are now.
I
have
do want to
one
try the stinky tofu though. It
one
sounds
last thing that you have to do.
okay, Colin.
You have to go to the 18 and over area in the Don Don Donkey supermarket.
What's in there, Colin?
Oh, you'll find out. No,
Even tell me? You can't tell me?
well, that's gonna
No.
be a secret.
The Don
Yeah.
Don Donkey, that's what it's
Yeah.
called.
Don't worry, you'll
Yeah.
see it and hear it from a mile away. It's a little song that they sing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I'm guessing they don't card you there either. They kind of just freely go in and out. Yeah.
But they did say that you can't wear a school uniform. So don't do that.
Serious risk for me
Yeah.
on this trip. All right, gentlemen. That was a fun one. Fun little opening. I think it's time we move into fantasy football. It was a good week three. We had a lot of very interesting things happen. Obviously, an incredible week for Mongood's team. Even maybe a little disappointing considering he put up so many points in finishing third. There's a lot of good storylines here, and so I wanna hand it off to Brian first. Brian, obviously your team, not the best week three, not the worst. You're probably feeling okay with where you're at, but what do you think of the overall table this week?
I thought it was probably the most fun week that we've had. It was like everything kind of got flipped on its head, it felt like a little bit. Anga came out of nowhere to finish, third in the table. I agree with what you said. It was kind of a middling week for my team, but honestly, going, about halfway through the week, I expected to be second to last. So the fact that I salvaged as good of a finish as I did, I was very content with. It was cool to see Austin's team really explode. He really got carried by his top two running backs. That was pretty awesome. And yeah, I mean, yet again, another week where we go into Monday Night Football with a ton of drama, a ton of speculation. Josh, you got to be involved in it this
I
week,
did, first
so
time.
congrats. I would have beaten you if it wasn't for that last second Zach Moss touchdown. If that touchdown pass had gone to anybody else, I
Know,
would
I
have beaten
was
you.
thinking that. I was thinking about that while they were on the goal line. I was like, why would they hand it off to Zach Moss? But then they did it. Yeah, it
I
was
know.
great.
Yep, you got lucky. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's like this is all we can ask for from fantasy football. We've had 3 weeks, ton of intrigue, going down to the wire every week. So it was a ton of fun. Colin, what were your thoughts?
I'm glad you guys are having fun. I'm not having as much fun, but
I
that's
wouldn't
okay.
either.
It was very exciting. I mean, the things that stick out are that Ongood and Austin were both like 50 points or more over their projected value, which is just wild. So more power to you guys. No, it's been a really fun year. I think the injury bug has been really challenging. One thing that's kind of interesting is like with Tua's injury, right? It's like Mike wasn't starting Tua, but the way that it impacts the other guys around Tua has really been interesting. Same thing with Jordan Love. So it'll be interesting to see like how I feel like there have been a lot of injuries early. So when these guys come back in weeks 5, 6, 7, like how things change. I think there's going to be a lot of change in the middle of the year. But overall, it's been really fun, except for me. Those are my takeaways.
Josh, what were your thoughts of
the week? I will share my thoughts, and then I have a question for Colin. The week was good. I mean, for me, it was a fine week, pretty normal. I would say the biggest result for me is Sloan with his third consecutive eighth place finish. I think he's probably a little scared at this point. Like Colin mentioned, with the injuries to the quarterbacks, there's not really a whole lot of optimism there. He got an insane week from Juwan Jennings. I think 30 points or something like that.
And 41. He's
still 41 points from Juwan Jennings, still only able to put up 106 as a team. If I'm Sloan, I'm a little nervous right now. I mean, he's stuck with Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey. He doesn't really have a lot of depth. Mark Andrews is maybe even worse than Travis Kelce this year, which is honestly shocking. I think he has a lot of reasons to be concerned. The resurgence of Ongood is incredible. It really is a testament to how crazy fantasy football is. You look at this collection of names, Malik Willis, 25 points, Zach Charbonnet, 24, Darnell Mooney, 10, Dallas Goedert, 21, Khalil Shakir, 16, just talking about him last week. You look at Ongood's team now and you're like, I guess it's not that bad. And it's on the back of some really great trades by Ongood. I think this is the first time on the podcast we've had to commend Ongood for his trades this year. But both the Joe Mixon and Rashad White trade are looking so good for him right now, even 2 weeks later.
100%.
I have to admit, in the moment, I did not understand why he did them. But he timed the market perfectly. And Brian Robinson is maybe looking like an even better asset than Rashad White straight up right now. So I think Ongood's feeling pretty good. Obviously big for Austin, you know, still in the playoff hunt at this point. If he wants to try and make a push, those running backs are insane. And I think they'll be able to keep him afloat pretty well. You know, Matt comfortably in third. I think that's exactly where he wants to be. So overall, I the biggest surprise has to be Ongood at 15 points. I can't believe he's actually in playoff contention right now. And then obviously, Colin, your team has just been absolutely horrible. 285 points through 3 weeks. Your highest week has been this last week at 101. So the question I have for you, Colin, and we'll get to your team more, but I just want to get your perspective. What's it? I've never gone through a stretch like this of being this bad at fantasy football. And so I'd like to learn what it's like watching all of the other teams when you're going back to back to back, just nearly last place finishes. How do you think about watching the league?
Well, congrats for that for you, Josh. Just wait, give it a couple years. Yeah, it's not as fun. I fall asleep at 9:30 on Monday nights instead of staying up until 11 or 12 like I used to, because I was actually intrigued about what was happening. I think, well, I pulled pretty tight because of Jaden Daniels' performance, but I was like deep in the hole for last going into the Monday night. So it definitely put the damper on there. I'm a generally optimistic individual, though, so I think that I'm going to put up 10 points this upcoming week. so, yeah,
that is bold.
It sucks being at the bottom, but that's okay. We'll make it work.
Do you think you're coming in last this year, or do you think that your team will stabilize and you'll pull
out of this? That's
a
good question. I think that I am going to come in last this year. I think that it's between Matt and I. I think Ongood is clear of the bottom. And the reason is because of his quarterback situation. I think with two solid, like, top 10 fantasy quarterbacks in Jordan Love / Malik Willis and Dak, like, he's going to be fine. Like, he's not going to have many, you know, last place finishes. So I think Ongood is honestly clear at this point. So I think it's between Matt and I for the bottom. But Matt is already 5 points clear of me. So it puts me in a pretty tough spot. I mean, and Daniel Jones played really great last week. I mean, if Daniel Jones can continue to put performances together, then like he could have a second solid starting quarterback. So yeah, I think whoever survives the injury bug a little bit more between Matt and myself, I think will be at the very bottom, and it's gonna be me. So I'm ready for it.
It's crazy that you just said, Colin, that Ongood's combination of Malik Willis and Jordan Love. I mean, it just is incredible how much things change after 3 weeks. Malik Willis, you would have been like, this is an absolute disaster for Ongood, having to start Malik Willis 3 weeks into the season, puts up 25 points against the Titans. It's incredible. Brian, how are you thinking about, you know, the bottom of the table right now? Obviously, I said we'll get to Colin's team, but what do you think of seeing Sloan second to last, Ongood in fourth, pretty tight in the middle? What do you think about results up to this point?
I think I'm going to start with Sloan's team. I really think that I'm not buying this, you know, second to last finish for Sloan. I do believe that he has a spurt coming here in the middle of the season, towards the end of the season, where he's going to start to rocket up the table. He's dug himself a big enough hole that I don't know if he can, you know, overcome enough teams to make the playoffs, but I don't think he's as bad as his team has been in the first couple weeks here. He's been pretty unlucky with, you know, the way some injuries have shook out and stuff. But so he, I think, will start to clear. I agree with Colin and the idea that Ongood has separated himself from the bottom. He has built himself quite a lead, but, you know, as somebody that has been to Waffle House and has, during that season, thought that I was clear of Waffle House, you are never clear of Waffle House until you are truly mathematically eliminated from consideration. You know, I feel like it's very plausible that Ongood could be at the bottom in, you know, 3 weeks time. So I'm not quite at that point yet. I think it's going to be a dead heat between Colin, Matt, and Ongood. Like, I think all three of you guys, I could make a plausible case for getting to Waffle House. I think Matt is probably the safest of the three from having to go. But I think this is the first year of a repeat loser. What are your thoughts, Josh?
I was just thinking about, like, if we were doing NFL comps through 3 weeks for the teams in our league, I would say Sloan is like the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Yeah, that's
where a good one. They're 0-3 right now. You're like, are they actually bad? Maybe, you know, maybe they're bad. But you think, okay, they're going to pull something together. But it's definitely, you know, you don't want to be playing around through 3 weeks. There's only 10 weeks left in the season. We're pretty much a quarter of the way through the regular season at this point. You can't have a lot more results like this. Obviously, one 10-point week for Sloan really changes things. And I think, like you mentioned, Brian, there are a lot of really bad teams who probably won't continue to perform this well. So I would say Sloan is kind of like the Cincinnati Bengals. Austin Ongood, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know what his NFL comp team is. Maybe the Minnesota Vikings being 3-0 right now, right?
Yep.
Having 15 table points for him is the equivalent of being undefeated in the NFL. So we're seeing things really start to turn. I feel like it would be a fun exercise to continue to, like, describe our fantasy football teams as NFL teams through 3 weeks in the season. But overall, the table's in great shape. Everything is still pretty close. You know, Dylan's at 23, Ongood's at 15. They're still within a week of each other in terms of standing. So a lot can still change.
I think one of the more fascinating, you know, battles that I feel like is brewing here is that fourth playoff spot. Like, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and say that you, Dylan, and Tommy have locked up playoff spots, but I mean, you guys have looked, you know, like formidable playoff teams. Obviously, Josh, I think you have a very good chance of getting there. Dylan and Tommy, I think, are a tier above, but if we continue to have results like this and we get some kind of mix of Mike, Austin, myself, and, you know, maybe Sloan shoots his way up there, that could be a hell of a battle in the last 3 or 4 weeks, keeping track of all these teams, you know, trying to vie for that last spot.
Totally agree. Colin, what are your thoughts? Obviously, you're in last. I know you mentioned you think that you have a good shot to come back. How are you feeling about the bottom of the table?
So I'm going to share some breaking news for everybody. I think that we're talking about Sloan being the Cincinnati Bengals and maybe he's good or not. I texted him an offer for a very valuable player on my team. And he responded, "I think I'm rebuilding now. I got to now accumulate some picks." So maybe Sloan is kind of thrown in the towel for this year. So why couldn't he be at the bottom? I mean, when you look at his team, he's starting Darnold and Baker Mayfield as his quarterbacks, like B minus C plus at best, guys. Ramondre is on the worst team in fantasy. David Montgomery is better than Jahmyr Gibbs. You heard that here first. Tyreek is suffering from a bad quarterback situation. Ayuk doesn't want to play football. Mark Andrews hasn't caught a pass ever. Juwan Jennings is not going to put up 41 points every week. 40% of Sloan's scoring last week was from Juwan Jennings.
That is wild.
That will never happen again.
He started two players he picked up on waivers last week.
I know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. So,
I think that there's a legitimate shot. Because, to be honest with you, I don't think Christian McCaffrey plays this year. I think they're going to shut it down.
Especially after the comment about like going to Germany, it did cross my mind once or twice.
That I mean, they're gonna start like 4-7 or something crazy, and then they're gonna shut them down. That's my take on that. So other than that, at the bottom of the table, like I think Sloan is a legitimate bottom of the table guy. And then I talked about Matt and myself. I still really do believe that Ongut is clear from the bottom, but I guess I can be proven wrong. And I hope I am proven wrong. Ongut, you go for it, buddy.
I have a question for you, Colin. So for your own team, not considering, you know, the answer to this question can't be like an injured player or somebody like that. Who I think it's fair to say you did not expect to be bottom of the table 3 weeks in. Who on your team are you most disappointed in that you think has led you to being at the bottom of the table?
I mean, to be honest, I did expect to be near the bottom, and I knew after last year, I knew in the middle of last year, I had to start getting younger, which is why I made that big trade with Josh. Which is still kind of really an interesting situation because I think it worked out for both of us.
Both of our big trades.
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, I expected Christian Watson to be a little bit more viable. I thought that he would, like, coming into the year, he would be the number one or the number two option on an offense that was going to score, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns a game. So I expected him to be close to a touchdown a game kind of guy because he's a bigger guy. And so with Jordan Love being out, that has completely taken him off the table. And he is not startable at this point. So I'm hoping that Jordan Love comes back into the fold so that both Jaden Reed for yourself, Brian, and Christian Watson can get a little bump from that. I am very sad that I traded away the guaranteed bucket in Brian Robinson. That was
I am too.
I know.
I am too.
So it'll be interesting to see. So I ended up getting Jonathan Brooks out of that. And so I was very happy to see Carolina win because I was kind of worried that if Carolina started 0-3 and they were really bad, they would continue to hold Jonathan Brooks out. But if it looks like they could, you know, maybe – take a shot at a playoff run, maybe they'll kind of get him back a little bit earlier. So that might help my team out just a little bit more. So yeah, I think Christian Watson is the biggest bummer thus far, to be honest.
Yeah, makes sense.
How are you, Colin, in terms of right now you are in last place? If you were to finish last, what punishment would you pick?
Oh, this is easy. So I'm kind of sad that we didn't come up with a formal second punishment, like draft. I know we talked about a lot of different things. So my team name is aptly named Collins River Cruise. So one of the punishments that Brian and I came up with was I came up with this one actually.
Yeah, you take credit for this one.
I from my backyard. You can make it to the White River. Mm. So Collins River Cruise is going to be an individual in some sort of raft, and you have to make it all the way through Marion County to Johnson County, which is just south of us. So you have to raft from Mud Creek to Fall Creek to the White River, and you have to go through downtown, and then you're going to get picked up once you're through the county.
Wait, so you go through the river that goes through downtown?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Are there, like, is there dangerous spots on
there
that
are.
Journey?
There are. There are some, like, drop-offs.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is all business, Josh. We're not sure if the route
Josh, you, you thought that that Waffle House was dangerous? Just wait till you see this one in action.
I like the idea that the loser could, like, especially for second-year losers, come up with their own punishment, and then it, like, goes through, like, the approval committee of the rest of the losers to, like, make sure it passes.
I love the idea of, like, a little bit of creativity with, like, do your Waffle House punishment, get it over with, blah, blah, blah. Then next time around, total creativity. Like, I'm open to anything.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm mentally preparing to go on that little adventure next summer.
I think he secretly really wants to. So
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. And this gives me an excuse to try it.
I think we should make you do it in the winter. You know, like a wetsuit. You know, like just
frozen
go for
water,
it.
Just with my oar out there.
You have to do it on like the inflatable that you used at Boys Weekend to go get the football. Like, how long did it take your toes to recover from that? By the way, was that like weeks or were they?
No, probably a week.
A week.
Yeah, I'm a fast healer, Josh.
That's a long time. I actually thought that a week took that long. Like, they were painful for a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were pretty raw.
They looked fucked up. Like, when you got out of the pool and five of your toes were bleeding. Like, I feel like one thing about Boys Weekend is something crazy happens to somebody, and then they handle it like a champ. You know, they're just like, whatever. I'm glad it's not me, and it probably will be me at some point, but I would be, like, freaking out. Yeah.
I know. I was just like, something doesn't feel quite right, and then I got out of the pool, and there's blood everywhere.
Classic. Yeah. Colin, I have one more question for you.
Yes, Josh.
DJ Moore. Have you soured on him at all? Have you had the DJ Moore experience at this point? Are you still optimistic about his value? Where are you at on DJ?
That's a good thought. So, I think generally I'm optimistic. I mean, when you look at his targets, 8, 10, and 10.
You're living the DJ Moore experience right now. I love it. No, keep going. Keep going.
I mean, I watched the Colts game. I was a little bit disappointed in his second half target share. I feel like all the action came from short yardage type of stuff in the first half, whereas Rome Odunze was getting a lot of the deeper shots in the second half. I don't know, you know, it's hard to, like, no touchdowns, obviously. To be honest, the way my team is set up right now, like, if you're on the field for 96% of the snaps, you're playing. So
yeah, you're doing the Mike strategy of starting two running backs from the same team, except both of them suck. Like, at least on my
well, what has been happening is I'm starting a single running back from the Broncos and a single running back from the Cowboys over the last couple weeks, and I picked the wrong one in each week. So we're just going to let it ride. The Cowboys are playing the Giants, so we're going to hope that the game script works in the favor of the Cowboys running backs.
I like that.
No, it's bad. There's no – you should not like this at all. It's really bad.
Colin, I will let you ask your next question, but I have one more. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Colin, how are you feeling about – so Brian and I have speculated about this for other teams.
Okay.
Being a bad team but not having your first-round pick, how do you think about being in this scenario? Are you like, I should try and go and get better? Or I know you texted Sloan to try and sell pieces. Like, how are you like thinking about potentially giving away 1.1?
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of like, I'm going to try as hard as I can to not allow the person who has my pick to be first overall. So I'm going to keep grinding. I feel like my goal is to keep young, like, important pieces. So Jaden Daniels, Achan, and Olave are kind of my like young core. So I'm going to hang on to those guys. I want to say that DJ Moore is in there too, but I probably can't. And then, yeah, the rest, I think is super flexible. I want to keep the young pieces. It does suck not having any picks, but I'm kind of prepping for maybe I like the 2026 draft if we're like looking that far into the future. So I think that that is kind of where I will try to set myself up to add some value in the future. So just taking it day by day at this point, Josh, it's looking a little bleak over here.
That it is. Brian, any questions for Colin on your end? Go ahead.
Yeah. My last question for you is, in your best case scenario, when is the first year or when is the next year you've made the playoffs before? When is the next year that you make the playoffs?
Ooh, good question.
That is a good question. I would say probably like 27 or 28.
You think you'll miss this season and two more seasons?
Yes, at least.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix actually looked like a human quarterback last week, so that was cool. And then like if Achan and then Jonathan Brooks can be solid running backs, that'd be cool. Olave and Puka is my wideout. The pieces are kind of there, but I don't have any depth, you know. So a Puka goes out week one, and I have nothing, you know. So just trying to get the high quality young guys in there, and maybe I don't know. I'm probably gonna have to sell one or two guys to get more like draft capital or depth. So just doing those at the right time.
I feel like what I like about your roster for the next couple of years is, like, your best players are your young players. So that's good. It's Thank not you. Like you're sitting out there with, you know, a bunch of 29 or 30 year olds kind of holding you up amongst a bad roster. Like, your best players are your young players. You just don't have enough of them. But I also think that makes it tough because if you do go to sell to try and get some assets back, like, do you sell some of these young assets to try and accumulate more, or do you like, are you going to be able to get a good enough return for your, you know, prime guys and your veterans? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm actually really interested in Calvin Ridley.
That is so crazy. He is for sale.
No, I think, I don't know. I think buying, I think at some point in the next year, I will buy like younger veterans, like guys in their like 26 to 28 range. Okay. Because I do, like, I think the important thing is I want to be somewhat relevant. Like, I do have the young pieces, but like, it sucks being at the bottom. Like, you want to like be there on Monday night, like fighting for certain spots. So I think I'll get this will get old, and I'll eventually sell a young, solid guy for a couple veterans. So you can send me your best offers.
Josh would be the
Daniels worth all four of Matt Kinney's first round picks next year.
That'd be a good one to try. I think that's that'd be worth the offer. Yeah, Josh would be the first one to tell you that 28-year-old players are like the prime spot within our league. Those are the guys, according to him, that you should be targeting. Now, keep in mind those 28-year-old players will be 32-year-old players the next time you expect to make the playoffs, but that's neither here nor there.
There is a value gap in our league for players that are over 28 years old. I'm just telling you guys, I've been saying it on the podcast for a long time.
You're right.
If you went out, Colin, and you sold your Olaves, your Daniels, your Achans for the Tyreek Hills, the Christian McCaffreys, David Montgomerys, right? Like, you try and, you know, get a Baker Mayfield kind of player for your QB2. I mean, I'm just saying there you could put a formidable team together, but I understand the risk. Holding the young players is more fun when you're bad rather than like having a weird team of vets, you know, right. Like kind of where Sloan is at right now, where you have like some A-list vets, and then you're starting Tyler Johnson and Juwan Jennings in week three.
Absolutely.
We called it for Sloan 3 years ago. I mean, I feel like from the beginning of this league, we've every year we've said one of these years it's going to fall off, and maybe this is the year.
I think that could be said for a lot of guys. Like, and I think that's it's hard to be in. Not Josh, you've done well to get Bijan, and your quarterbacks are young, and CD obviously for me. But like so I drafted really old, and I wanted to be a year ahead of the curve to sell my guys for top value. And I think I was too ahead of the curve. So like Cooper Kupp is still a stud. Travis Kelce's fallen off, but like, I don't even remember the other guys. I think I was too early. So I sold the vets too early and I kind of fucked myself a little bit. Cause now I'm like too young and a couple of those players like didn't pan out, you know.
You also sold CD Lamb. Did you not?
No, I did. But I gained CeeDee Lamb in that original trade.
You did.
With Joshua. And then he got him back. You're welcome, buddy.
That CeeDee Diggs Devontae trade, I think you're still making that 10 times out of 10 at that
moment. Oh, sure.
It's a perfect
because of where I was at, I made the trade to get all of those guys because I was scared of Waffle House. But I knew like I was probably headed that way no matter what, and I just needed to get younger.
Yeah. So you had to do it. And Puka, DJ Moore, Ongood second and two first, like that was a sick trade.
Yeah.
I look back on that one, I have a little regret about it, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I still like the players I got out of it, and DJ Moore is not a fun player to hold, but
no,
I don't, a lot to give
like
up.
But so those three players, and then you can look at who I ended up with. DJ Moore, Puka, and then Jaden Daniels. I got Olave out of it. I got Bo Nix, who kind of sucks, but he's whatever. And then Jonathan Brooks. Like, I needed to do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to be – it's so weird in fantasy because when you have a really good young stud and you're a bad team, it really doesn't make sense to have a player that young and that good. Like, you want to diversify the assets a little bit. So I get what you're saying, Brian, too. It's the exact point you're making about what do you choose to do with those assets. All right, gentlemen. Colin, I think we've covered your team. I think there was two things we wanted to talk about. The first was we can be brief on this one, was a tweet that Ongood sent to the group, or that Austin sent to the group, talking about the best fantasy players through the first 2 weeks. Brian, do you have that pulled up? Or I can find it too. Brian, why don't you tell us the tweet and then we can spend a little bit of time talking about it.
So the tweet that Austin sent was essentially just outlining some outliers through the first 3 weeks in terms of their overall positioning within their position group. So through the first 3 weeks of the season, Juwan Jennings is wide receiver 4. Dallas Goedert is tight end 1, Cole Kmet is tight end 3, Sam Darnold is QB2, and Malik Nabers is wide receiver 1. Let's start with Colin. Colin, what's your kind of, you know, maybe 20-second response to that kind of tweet? What's surprising?
My 20-second response is that the tight end position has totally flipped on itself. All of the high-quality tight ends that we thought were there coming into the year are not as high-quality as we had hoped and dreamed. And so honestly, the tight end position is all luck right now.
Which one of the five is most surprising? So Juwan Jennings, wide receiver 4, Dallas Goedert, tight end 1, Cole Kmet, tight end 3, Sam Darnold, QB2, Malik Nabers, wide receiver 1. Which one's the most shocking?
Juwan Jennings is the 4th wide receiver.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Cool. Josh, what's your thoughts?
I think like the Juwan Jennings stuff, I'm a little bit cooler on it because it's only 3 weeks into the season. He had one insane week. So I agree with you. It is shocking. And obviously a 3-touchdown week is crazy, but I don't think that's actually sustainable. For me, it's probably Sam Darnold. I was thinking he was going to be absolutely garbage this year. Addison hurt, Hawkinson out, right? Like, he hasn't had the best offense there. And that team is still pretty good. I mean, Darnold somehow manages to stay relevant. I think I heard a stat the other day that he's younger than Joe Burrow, which is insane to think about, that he's actually a younger quarterback than him. But yeah, it's been a crazy year. And Colin, your point on the tight ends is spot on. There is literally no one you feel good about starting at this point. It's why you don't trade for tight ends. I did it. I actually did it a week ago, traded for a tight end. I love Kyle Pitts. I will happily watch him, his value degrade to nothing on my roster, but I would rather it happen there than anywhere else. Same way I felt about Treylon Burks, but yeah, it's weird. What about you, Brian? How do you feel about this list? Who's your biggest surprise?
I agree. I think Sam Darnold as QB2 is like shocking, especially considering he wasn't even supposed to be a starter this year. And for him to be QB2, I honestly thought when Sam Darnold was a starter that it like poisoned the entire Vikings offense in terms of value. Like I thought Dylan was going to be in trouble because I thought, for, you know, Justin Jefferson's value might be, you know, tarnished a little bit. I thought the rest of the Vikings offense was probably unstartable with Darnold at QB. So that to me is amazing. And I mean, it's sustainable. It doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. So that's pretty wild. All of them I think are shocking. You know, Juwan Jennings at wide receiver for you, right, Colin? You know, that's, who would have ever seen that coming? So I think it'll be funny to keep track of where Juwan Jennings finishes the season, because I think there's a good chance that it's like sub 60. But for now, he's in the top four.
Crazy. All right, gentlemen, let's go to the 2023 draft. I'll give you all a second to pull it up. I thought it was fun when we did it last week, and so I think we should pick it back up again. So let's start off with the first round. You know, it's only been a year, but I feel like there's already so much that you can think about these rankings. It's crazy. So round one is Bijan, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Gibbs, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quinton Johnston, Jordan Addison, Achan, and Will Levis at pick 1.10. Colin, let's start with you. How do you think about the first 10 picks so far, a year in to their NFL careers?
Obviously, the biggest swing and a miss was the Bryce Young 1.02. And I think that influenced Austin's trade with me to go up to get Caleb Williams as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
It's a little bit scarring. Otherwise, you know, QJ sucks, but of course he's catching touchdown passes this year. Not sure how that happened. And Will Levis at the back. Poor Austin, man. He's invested in the quarterback position and he's just swinging at the wrong guys. Otherwise, everybody's doing pretty okay, in my opinion. Like, JSN and Addison will be fine. They're, like, solid talents. Just give them some time. What do you guys think?
Brian, go ahead.
Okay. So I agree, you know, with all of Colin's analysis. I think this is a fascinating one that we will absolutely have to revisit this time next year, because there are so many players in this first round that are right on the precipice of going either direction. Like, I think Anthony Richardson is one of those picks. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is one of those picks. Quinton Johnston, sure. You know, terrible rookie year. Obviously, like Colin mentioned, a little bit better this year. Jordan Addison's a little on the precipice. I think Will Levis is too. I mean, at least Will Levis is starting. Like, he's, I think that's a fine pick at 110, honestly. Obviously, in hindsight, we knew who came after, you know, what players came after that. But, you know, a starting quarterback is a starting quarterback. But still, it could go either way. This is one, like, this could be a all-time first round if these players break in the right direction, or it could be pretty underwhelming. You know, Bijan Robinson, CJ Stroud, Jahmyr Gibbs, and a bunch of, you know, bench player. Achan looks pretty good, but I think it's going to be really fascinating to keep an eye on this one. I think Bryce Young is the only known bust at this point. But there's a lot of players who these next 10 weeks of their NFL careers could, you know, say a lot. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brian. Bryce Young, definitive bust. Anthony Richardson, I think, is slowly falling into the Mike will sell this quarterback zone, where, you know, all of his quarterbacks are untouchable and still until you start to question them. And it's a perfect, we're at the Zach Wilson phase of Anthony Richardson where you're like, I don't know. I mean, he's only played like 5 games, but it just, when it's bad, it's really bad. When it's good, it's really good. And it's not great most of the time. So yeah, the early pick running backs, I think it's just, they're going to keep their value for the most part, just because of the pedigree. It's what we've been talking about, Brian. Like, there's a reason you draft running backs taken in the first round because they typically maintain their value. If I'm Matt or Ongood, even Addison to an extent, I don't know, those three, you're probably not feeling great about using a first round pick on those. And Will Levis too, you're just kind of like, you know, he's going to get benched. He's not good enough to keep playing. And so you can't trade him for hardly anything, but you can't start him either. So he's kind of like the worst player to have on your roster because he's literally worth like a third. I don't know if you would trade a second for Will Levis at this point. Would either of you guys do that?
I probably wouldn't, unless I was desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope. I don't know if you saw the interception that he threw in maybe week one or week two where he was falling down and then chucked a pick six. One of the worst plays I've ever seen in my life. That doesn't leave your brain. So I don't know. That's where I'm at on round one.
I have a very specific question for both of you, and I'm going to let you answer before I give my, I don't want to influence you guys. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, is that, where do you stand? Is that a good asset? Is that a bad asset? Is that, yeah. What are your thoughts? And I'll also tell you what Matt thinks.
I think Matt thinks. Matt, Kirk Cousins for Jaxon Smith-Njigba straight up 2 weeks ago. So I don't know if that's more of a testament to where I'm at on JSN or Kirk Cousins, probably more of a JSN statement. I think obviously he had the 12 target or 16 target game last week, which was great. But outside of that, you're underwhelmed. I think I would not pay. It would be hard to give up a first round pick for Jaxon Smith-Njigba right now. What do you think, Colin?
Agreed. I think his value is a second rounder. I don't know. Generally, I'm optimistic. Like, Tyler Lockett is not going to be – I mean, he'll retire soon, I would imagine. You got to go with the draft pedigree, like you're talking about with the running backs. Like, he was a first-round wide receiver. I'm a little bit biased watching him get the 16 targets. If you're going to have that kind of target share, you're going to be in a good spot. I think what we're seeing too this year is that there have been a lot of like shadows from the best cornerbacks on the number one receiver. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to get a lot of targets from that standpoint. So I think he does have a good second half of the year. And I think his value increases as the year ends.
So what's Matt's take, Brian?
Probably err more towards Josh's opinion. I think I would be vastly underpaying for Jaxon Smith-Njigba at this point. I don't think I would be able to come up with an offer that Matt would deem acceptable for him right now. I just, he's too scary for me, especially considering that the quarterback situation in Seattle is a little murky going forward. I just am not sure I want to buy, on a receiver with that much uncertainty going forward. And I don't really feel like he had that one great week and then he followed it up with a 3-target week right after that. So I wouldn't want to buy on him. I know Matt's still pretty high on him. Matt has, had a lot of hope for him. So that's why I was curious to ask, because I think Matt and I are, that's one of the players that Matt and I are probably farthest apart on.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, he was such a stud coming out of college, and it's hard to give up on these rookies too early, because if they end up being good, you're just like shooting yourself, especially if you're a bad team. So I get it. All right, round two. We'll start it off. Zach Charbonnet, Zay Flowers, Dalton Kincaid, Kendre Miller. Oh, this one hurts. Rashee Rice, Jonathan Mingo, Josh Downs, Sam Laporta, Roschon Johnson, and Tank Bigsby at 2.10. I'll just say, like, my opinions first on this round. Looking like a pretty grim second round, honestly. Zach Charbonnet, meh, kind of a weird player. I don't think you trust him. Obviously, Zay Flowers is pretty good. Kincaid, still kind of a question mark. Kendre Miller seems like an absolute bust at this point. Can't stay on the field for a single week. The only player, I mean, there's two players in this, three players, I think, that you're actually excited about, which is Zay, Rashee Rice, and Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta still just a tight end, you know, like he's a good tight end. He's not going to win you a championship, but overall, I think this is quite an underwhelming round two compared to maybe even what we looked at last week in 2022. What are your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, Zay Flowers is even a little bit of a weird player. Like, Lamar Jackson's number one wide receiver has never been, you know, a great asset in any season. So I definitely like Zay, but he's a risky start some weeks. I think I'm probably a little bit higher on Kincaid than you are, but I agree. You know, he kind of falls into the same category as Laporta, where, you know, a good tight end is still just a tight end. So, you know, there's only so much value you can get out of it. Rashee Rice is a star. Like, that's an absolute star. If I'm Austin, I'm just beaming year to year at that pick. And like, to get him in the second round is really awesome. Honestly, to me, I think if you asked Austin, would you keep this draft, or would you like scrub, you know, get rid of the poor quarterback picks? I would honestly keep this draft just to keep Rashee Rice. Like, he looks that good.
Wow.
Yeah. I would eat the Will Levis and Bryce Young picks to have Rashee Rice. So, other than that though, I agree. Like, I still have a little bit, as a Colts fan, a little bit of hope for Josh Downs, but I don't know if he's ever anything more than a flex option. But yeah, I think it's a grim field.
What do you think, Colin?
I think I agree with everything that you guys have said. In the first round, we talked about a lot of guys being on the precipice, but I feel like we know, like, we have our answers for these second round guys for the most part. Yeah, I'm high on Dalton Kincaid as well, but I agree. Zay Flowers, Kincaid, Rashee Rice, Sam Laporta, studs, or will be studs kind of as we move forward. The rest, not so much.
Let me just say, if we think this second round was bad, fire us up for these third and fourth rounds. Josh, hit us with it. This is rough.
There is one more thing I want to say about round two, and that is Zay Flowers fell in this draft in our league. There is no reason Zay Flowers should have been out of the first round. And I think even when you look back at the moment, like, taking Will Levis as a reach, Charbonnet, I think, is a bit of a weird pick considering they had gotten Kenneth Walker the year before. A reminder to everyone, you know, at the end of the day, trusting the draft capital isn't that bad. And I guess I say that. And then Jonathan Mingo, who was the first pick of the second round, like, that was a player you didn't want to touch. So I don't know. It's a weird one. Let's go on to round three and four. I'm going to group them into one because I'm looking at the names here. I think there is only maybe two guys in rounds three and four that I actually am interested in. Maybe three. The two are, I think the number one is round pick 4.5, which is Tank Dell. I think he's the best player in rounds three or four. And then Jaden Reed. And then Tyjae Spears. And I think it's those three, and there's nobody else for me. What do you think, Brian?
I do want to real quickly run us through the names so that everybody can hear some of these names. So in this order, Michael Mayer, Marvin Mims, Jaden Reed, Jalen Hyatt, Tyjae Spears, Chase Brown, Hendon Hooker, Zach Evans, Israel Abanikanda, Cedric Tillman, Luke Musgrave, Dwayne McBride, Michael Wilson, Deuce Vaughn, Tank Dell, Kayshon Boutte, Stetson Bennett, Denerick Price, Aiden O'Connell, shout out Xavier Hutchinson. Essentially, just a bunch of, wait, who's that? There were some rough picks. I agree with your insight. I'm going to toss in a shameless plug for Chase Brown, who I think is somebody who's going to have an excellent second half of the season.
Oh my
so God. that's my shameless plug.
If Zach Moss gets everybody injured, else, he will.
Everybody else other than maybe Michael Wilson is cuttable, in my opinion.
What do you think, Colin?
Can we talk about who wasn't drafted? Because there is one individual who was not even drafted,
yes,
who is now a stud, and that is Puka Nacua, was not drafted in this draft. Stetson Bennett was. Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. Tank Dell, Michael Wilson, Jaden Reed. I like Luke Musgrave as a fourth round tight end. I mean, he showed a couple flashes in the first his first season, but yeah, it's tough sledding out there, man.
Yeah, it's a reminder. Third and fourth round picks, they feel good to make, but don't give up too much for those bad boys. You're probably reaching, especially when you get, I think, past the first few picks of the third round. Early thirds I like in general, but once you get past that, it's kind of, I think it's a total crapshoot. Okay, gentlemen, we've been going for an hour. I want to go walk my dog. It has been wonderful talking with both of you. Thank you so much for joining us, Colin. It's been so great to have you. Thank you for staying up late, both of you East Coast boys. It is 11 p.m. Colin's probably falling asleep right now, but I'm very appreciative of both of your presence. So good to have you on the pod.
Yeah, it was a blast. Colin, thanks for joining. Josh, thanks for running it. We will be back at it next week.
See you guys next week. Have a good one.
See you guys.
See you guys.